I'm Mark Bayshore. It is a Friday, as you've been hearing. Important federal subsidies affecting over 200,000 Michigan residents, covered by health insurance thanks to Obamacare, will continue. The highly anticipated U.S. Supreme Court decision in King v. Burwell was announced yesterday. Obamacare opponents, some of which had thought the end of subsidies would mean its demise, expressed their displeasure. One of them, Congressman Mike Bishop, who represents Lansing and East Lansing, used the occasion to say the law does not put patients first and described it as unsustainable. Supporters of the Affordable Care Act, including our next guest, are applauding the decision. They're saying the law has been an unqualified step in the right direction, offering health security to millions of Americans who've never known that before. For her thoughts, we welcome back to the program Mary Ann Udall Phillips, director of the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. CHART is a nonprofit partnership between U of M and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, whose stated goal is to promote evidence-based care delivery, improve population health, and expand access to care. Welcome back, Mary Ann.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here.
This much-anticipated decision is finally behind us. Politics aside, if such a thing is possible, tell us why you think this is good news.
Well, I think it is very good news for many reasons for our state. You know, first and foremost, of course, we have 228,000 people in Michigan who have been getting subsidies to help them buy health insurance. So it's great news for them because those subsidies will continue to make healthcare affordable for them. Second, if it had gone the other way, I really believe we would have had a collapse of the individual market because the current rates would have been unsustainable. It would be very difficult to create health insurance plans that would work in this environment. So it's very good news in terms of the stability of the individual market, even for people who don't get subsidies. And I think that's an important thing to understand. And third, it gives us some certainty, which is very important for healthcare providers, for health plans, for researchers, for citizens to know that this is the structure of healthcare that we're going to be living with, and it helps us plan to go forward.
Was that uncertainty, was the uncertainty stemming from this case having any impact on the operation or the provision of healthcare in Michigan?
Well, it was certainly causing many people to be concerned about what was going to happen. A lot of people, frankly, were waiting for the decision before they changed the approaches they were taking. So health plans were still moving forward with offering products on the health insurance exchange. In fact, we have many more healthcare products in the 2015 exchange than we're on in 2014. So people were expanding their offerings in the current environment, but it was certainly creating a lot of anxiety among providers and insurers and others who really try to help deliver services as to what was going to happen.
What will this do to enrollment or participation in Healthy Michigan specifically, our state initiative here to, connected with the expansion of Medicaid?
So this doesn't directly affect the Medicaid program or the Healthy Michigan program, and that really becomes a separate issue, and there's a separate set of activities going on with Healthy Michigan right now because the state is in the process of submitting a second waiver request to make some modifications to Healthy Michigan based on what the legislature passed on that plan. This decision doesn't really affect that, but it does help make sure that we don't have many more people in our state who become uninsured.
What's the future of that waiver request, in your opinion?
Well, it's a challenging waiver. I believe very strongly that the state and the federal government both want to find a way to make that waiver work. The challenging part of it is that there's a piece of the waiver that raises cost sharing for consumers to 7%, and the statute has a current limit of 5%, and so in the Medicaid program. And so that's something that the state and the federal government are really trying to sort out and figure out how they could do this. And the state's certainly working very hard on this. And I think they're going to find a solution. I really do.
Mary Ann Udall Phillips is our guest. Mary Ann's director of the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. What, if anything, is left unresolved with regard to the Affordable Care Act after this decision?
Well, there are lots of things that are unresolved. Certainly politics continues to swirl around this legislation, and I don't think that's going away by any means. I think it will still figure in the 2016 election. This legislation does have a lot of areas that need fixing, and whether Congress can do that or not is a question. There are other areas in the legislation that had poor drafting and could really benefit from some fixing.
What would you fix first? What would you address?
Well, one of the big things, it's a fairly technical issue, but one of the big things that was somewhat of a mistake in the legislation is what's known as the family glitch. And that has to do with whether or not an individual in a family is eligible for employer-sponsored coverage, which then makes them not eligible for the other members of their family, not eligible for these tax credits, even if the family members aren't eligible for that employer-sponsored coverage. And, you know, that's a real challenge because it has to do with how the legislation worded household income, and that would be something that would be really beneficial to fix for family members who don't get offered coverage through a spouse or someone's employer.
For some of the reasons you've already alluded to, there is, of course, a significant number of opponents to the law. There have been all along. There will continue to be, no doubt. As someone who has studied this from a policy perspective, what have you made generally, of the criticism to the law?
You know, it's very hard to understand the criticism in total, because the really core question is whether or not people believe that we should have coverage, health insurance coverage, for everyone in this country. Now, that is a settled question in most of the developed world. So most countries in the developed world have decided that health insurance is a social good. In the U.S., we have been very conflicted about this issue. But if you ask people on polls, most people say we should have health insurance for everyone. The challenge is there aren't that many ways to get there. And what the critics of this law have been saying is that they think that this is a terrible law, but most of them don't say it's because they don't think we should have health insurance for everyone. Mm. And so it's really hard to sort out what they would do instead. What do they mean by that?
Millions of Americans are indeed covered by health insurance now who were not covered before. For many, costs have gone down, but not all. You must have met someone by now whose premiums have gone up, possibly dramatically, as a result of the ACA, or has a health insurance policy that's inferior to the one they had before. This has happened. How exactly do you defend the law when you meet someone in those circumstances?
Well, you know, it is a serious issue for some people. Some employers are spending more on health insurance. You know, in part, this law expands coverage in a way, makes more services included than were required before. So, you know, preventive services have to be covered with no copays, for example. Most health insurance plans didn't cover as many of those services before. So the coverage is broader, and that does raise costs for some people, lowers costs for others.
Premiums are going up sooner than people anticipated, too, correct? I mean, aren't overall the projections, the participation projections are actually lower than what the proponents projected originally? Isn't that the case?
The premium increases are lower than what people projected. The premium increases, so let me sort out a little bit about what's happening on healthcare cost trends and then also on coverage.
Sure.
The cost trends have been coming in lower than people predicted. It's ticking up a little bit right now, but generally we have seen much lower rates of increase in healthcare spending over the last several years.
But haven't they come in sooner than we expected?
The premiums?
Yes.
Have come in sooner. So for 2016, what you may have seen is that there were some early announcements of premium rates on the health insurance exchange for the individual market, for these folks who get the subsidies and some of the others who don't. And some of those looked very high. But that's because the only rates that were announced were those that were being proposed to be higher than a certain standard, the higher than 10% increases. There's been a recent analysis actually done by a group called Avalier in Washington, D.C., of the total rate proposals for 2016. And Michigan, for example, is a state where the rates are actually being proposed on average to go down in 2016. Hmm. a little bit under 2% reduction in rates. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can keep their same health plan necessarily and get a lower rate. In some cases, that means switching health plans, and that is because many more insurers are coming in the market. Competition is increasing. Mm.
Describe for us, here we got less than a minute, describe for us what the focus of your work at the chart will be in the short-term future, especially after this decision. What are you studying there?
Well, we are monitoring what's happening in our state in terms of healthcare trends. We're looking at access to care. One of the questions about the Affordable Care Act was whether, if many more people got coverage, would people be able to find doctors to treat them? And we've been monitoring that. We have baseline data from before the expansion to currently. We've been surveying consumers and providers, and we're very interested to see how the healthcare system is changing. Lots of consolidation in the marketplace. We're interested in all of these narrow network plans and the impact of that on quality and on cost. So there's lots of transformation occurring in healthcare delivery systems right now, and we're monitoring all of that.
To be sure, and your phone number and email will stay on my short list for probably for some number of months to come.
That's great, Mark.
We'll have you back to sort out some of the wrinkles in this whole thing and help us navigate it. Mary Ann Udall Phillips, Director of the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation at the University of Michigan. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.